Bible to 1 John tonight. Amen. Good to see our folks from West Virginia. Amen. And folks from Tennessee tonight. Praise the Lord, they're here. Amen. They're going to be here for the wedding, right? Y'all got down here for the wedding? Good. Amen. We're going to have Brother Mike Easter preaching this weekend, and Samson coming in. He's going to be preaching this weekend. And we had a missionary call me today. He says, I'm supposed to be with you Sunday. I said, oh, man. And I said, well, come on. Just come on. And I said, well, we'll push him to Wednesday night, but he said he don't have no place to go, so he'll be here too as well. As a missionary, I can't even think his name now. He's going to, I forgot. Anyway, he's going somewhere. So 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We went through that last time, pleading a cause for another, the advocate. We talked about the devil being our accuser of the brethren, talking about how the devil always accuses. I said, wouldn't it be nice to be able to stand before God and the devil, or the devil accuse you and be lying about you? But most of the time, in this day and age, the devil's not lying about nobody. He's telling everybody, he's telling the truth. And Jesus Christ is stepping up and interceding for us. But the devil's got, he's got a case. He really does. You watch Perry Mason, man. You always got that guy, what was his name, the prosecuting attorney. Who? What was? Hamilton. Yeah, that guy was, he was a prosecutor. And he was good, I mean, the movies anyway. But the devil's even better. The devil's a good prosecutor. I mean, he's got the case. And it'd be nice to have one time in your life, have the devil be wrong about you. And boy, you got to set your mind and heart to that. And then in verse 3, it says, whereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And we talked about that last time. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words and my commands. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If a man says he knows God, the Bible says if a man knows God, the same is known of him. And you want people to say, that guy knows God. He knows the Lord. And it's a great testimony to any Christian. You don't have to be a preacher to be known as a man or a woman that knows God. You don't have to be a preacher. Some of the greatest testimonies there ever was is folks up in, you know, just in the backwoods somewhere that loved God, just serving him and knew how to pray. I went, when I was going to Bible school, there was an old preacher that we went by. His name is Dr. Rabine. And when I was going to Bible school in Greenville, South Carolina, went by John and said, you got to meet this old man. And he's an old preacher. He preached with Billy Sunday. He preached with Bob Jones Sr. He preached with all these old timers. And the guy was in his 90s at the time. And I went by his house and we went down. He was downstairs for something. We went down to the basement. He pulled up a chair. And we were talking to him. We pulled up a chair, and he said, come here, boys, I'll pray over you. And you said, you believe in that? And yeah, I believe in that. I believe in the old-timers praying over you. And this old man, we sat there, and this old man started praying over us. And, man, I tell you what, I got weeping and crying. He was had his hand on us. I took his hand off of me. I took his hand off. Now, I'm not in the mystic type, you know, a lot of times a lot of preachers get in this mystic junk and all that stuff, you know, but I tell you what, there's something about that transfer, you know, God's praying or preachers praying over somebody else, and this old man, his ministry now, he couldn't get out, but his ministry was just prayer, and him and his wife, the phone was ringing constantly, and his wife was answering the phone, and she had a pad, she was writing down prayer requests, that's all she was doing all day long, just writing down prayer requests, and they would get there and pray. And that old man is named Dr. Rabine, and he prayed over us. I shouted. I ran around the building, running around in the basement there, shouting and everything. And then I slid in on my knees and put his hand back on my head, and he was finished praying. And years later, I graduated from Bible school, and seven guys went with me. We was going up to North Carolina. We went up to Mike Easter's old church. They're having a camp meeting up there. And Dr. Lackey, Carl Lackey. And we went up to that church. We were going up there, and I was in my old pickup truck. And we drove up North Carolina, but we stopped in Greenville, South Carolina. We stopped by, and I thought, let's find that old man. We went over to Bob Jones Sr.'s grave, right in the middle of Bob Jones. We went over there, got down on his grave. He's right in the middle. When you pull into Bob Jones, his grave is out there in the fountain, by the fountain. So we all went out there and got down on our knees and prayed, God, give us what the old man had. I want what the old man had. And give it to us. I mean, they had wisdom. They had. You know, they knew how to handle. They weren't always going around. You know, cussing people out or anything. Maybe Brother Lackey might have, but Brother Bob Jones Sr. didn't. No, Lackey didn't do that either. Lackey loved people. Mike was showing me a pictures of Brother Lackey preaching when he first started preaching down there in North Carolina. And he still got the pictures. And Brother Lackey's baptized and down at the river. And you see all these 55, 56, 57 Chevrolets and Fords and everything lined up. And there's 1,000 people out there. 1,000. And he's out there on top of a rock. And he's preaching down there on top of the rock. And he's baptizing people in the old creek. 1,000 people showed up. And like Sam Gipp was talking about, these old-time preachers, these old-time guys. I don't consider myself an old-time guy. I want to be. I want to be one of them guys. I like to be one of them guys. But I don't consider myself one of them. I couldn't even tie their shoes. But Brother Lackey was one of those guys. And we asked Brother Lackey to pray over us, asked Brother Lackey to lay his hands on us. And we shouted and everything else. We asked Dr. Seidler to pray over us. Dr. Seidler knew where we went to Bible school. He wouldn't even pray over us at first. He said, your boys can sit in the service. And we sat in the service that night. They had a children's home that sat over here, all the children. And then we got up and we started shouting and everything. And Dr. Seidler, I was getting ready to leave. And he said, you boys, come on up here. And we got on our knees. And he walked down between us and put his hand on us and prayed over us and asked God to use us. We all, you know, we felt like you're about that big. And you don't feel like you're worthy enough to be able to be on the platform with them. And so we got around Dr. Raybon, went over to see Dr. Raybon, and knocked on the door. As soon as I knocked on the door, the old man opened the door, and he went, well, glory, like that. As soon as he opened the door, I'm standing at the door, and he opened the door, well, glory, and he grabbed me, pulled me in the house, and hugged me, and he said, boy, I've been praying for you every day since I first met you, 12 o'clock. It was in the basement. And that's been years went by. Man, I cried. And we sat in the room with that old man. It was Jim Lentz and Billy Delaney and a whole bunch of guys. And we sat in there and sat in the room, and all we did was listen to him talk. We all shut up and didn't say a word. We just sat there and listened to him. We wanted the power of God in our lives. And we wanted the power of God, and we started praying. We prayed all night long up in the old church that Mike remembers. And we was up there all night long. We preached to each other. And then we got out in my truck, and we drove down the city. And then we preached on the street in the middle of the night. And nobody going by. And I know the cop rode by looking at us. But we was just fired up, man. We got in our truck, drove up the road. I was doing donuts in the church parking lot. Miss Lackey came out with her hair down. She had a big old, she had a holiness like bun. She would put her head up. And then when she put it down, and you know, I told you all that story. And just wanting the power of God in our lives. And Brother Lackey prayed over us. And we just wanted to know God. We just wanted to know the Lord. And you can know, you know, the old saying is you can know God if you want to. You can know him. You can know him. You can get as close to God as you want to be. And you know, the Lord never says, no, that's far enough. He doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. You can get close to God. And so the Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And when it comes down to his word, you know what he's talking about, keeping his commands. And Brother Gibbs was talking about the young men, young ladies. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be tempted not to keep his word. You're going to be tempted to go away from the word of God. We got a generation just wanting to get away from the word of God. I was over in Israel. I was talking to young people over there. The young people, they don't want nothing to do with their religion. They don't want nothing to do. And you got Bible believers, Christian kids raised in a Christian home and Bible-believing church. They don't want nothing to do with it. Why? It's just, to them, it's just old-fashioned. It's you know, it costs too much. It just costs too much. And it says in verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Is a liar. And the truth is not in him. And you got a lot of people proclaiming they know God. You got people all day in, day out, they talk about how they know God. They know God. They know God. And I hope they do. I hope, man, pray they do. Because knowing the Lord is going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll keep you from a lot of trouble. And then in verse 5 it says, for whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And if you keep his word, the love of God is perfected in you. And I was going to say this. I said, I don't hate nobody. There's some people I don't like. And I've read that message, you know, God like me. But I'm supposed to love everybody. And I do. I love people. I care about people. And you should never pastor a church if you don't love people. You don't care about people. And you don't want to help people. He says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came down, paid a great, great debt. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 14, talking about his keeping his word. John chapter 14. John 14, look at verse 23. John 14, look at verse 23. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me. And a lot of people claim they love him. A lot of people talk about love. You know, isn't it funny, the crowd that talks about love, they don't really show a whole lot of love. People talk about love, you know, y'all ain't got no love. You know, when you're preaching, preaching the word of God, you preach on hell, you preach it straight. They say, you ain't got no love. You know what? That's showing real love. When you're preaching on things, you're trying to warn people, that's showing love. Because you don't want to see people go down that road. And the ones that don't preach on it, don't preach on hell, don't preach on judgment, they don't preach on the, the seven mysteries, they don't preach on those things, they don't tell people, warn people, they don't really love people. They're trying to deceive people. Jesse and I sat the other day, we listened to Joel Osteen on TV. We listened to him. And, you know, the guy took, yeah, I got my message from him. You know what Joel Osteen does? I mean, if you want to feel good, that guy will make you feel good. Yeah. Really. I just felt all bubbly inside after listening. And, we listened to him, and you know that guy took scripture and just twisted it.
That's right.
He took scripture and twisted it. And he, talked about, when Jesus said, you're going to bruise Satan's head, he said, every time the devil start getting there, just look down and say, I'm going to bruise your head. He took scripture and twisted it.
Put all your problems under your feet.
Yeah, put all your problems under your feet, and it sounded good. So everybody's sitting there. Nobody's got a Bible. They're all sitting there writing down the message. And what he is a psychologist. He's a motivational speaker. And the guy, if you want to feel good, you know what people say? I don't want to hear nothing bad. I don't want to hear nothing negative. I don't want to hear nothing. And they get to that point where you say, so much bad in the world, you say, I don't want to hear nothing bad. See, it's like sticking your head in the sand. If you don't want to, I know when you come to church, you can't get up as a pastor and get up and skin people and skin people and skin people and skin people. Before long, there's going to be blood all over the place. And a lot of guys think they got to skin the sheep every time they get up, and they'll destroy. They kill the sheep. They end up beating the sheep and beating the sheep and beating the sheep until they kill them. And then the sheep ain't no good. Jesus said, you love me, keep my words. If you love your sheep, he said, feed them. If you love the sheep, you feed them. So I've seen guys just destroy their churches because they don't love the sheep. And they beat them and beat them and beat them. And so the Joel Osteen guy, he's appealing to people. They get up there and they listen to him. They say, oh, man, oh, he's good. I like that. And they listen to that. And they'll say, oh, I'm never going to go back to a church where they preach anything negative anymore. So you get that point, and look out, man. Look out. You're sticking your head in the sand. The Bible is about 75% negative. Amen. Negative when it comes to lost, but when it comes to a Christian, it's 75 to 80, 90% positive when it comes to a Christian. About living for God. It talks about judging yourself, and those things are positive, really. That's positive. You know, this helps you to live, helps you to do right. And it's you talking about the victorious Christian life, that's the way you live it. And most people don't have that. Look, John 14, verse 23. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, what's a Comforter? It's the Holy Ghost. We need comfort. You definitely need comfort. And I get comfort when I get into the Word of God. When I pray, I get comfort from God. When I hear somebody preach on the truth, it comforts me. It gives me comfort. So you get to the place where you say, I'm not going to hear anything negative, then you'll just shut down the Word of God. Go back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. That's what he's talking about, the young men today. And the old-time preachers, Brother Lackey, Brother Mike told me, he said, Brother Lackey, he get up, he preached on death in the pot. And it was funny, though, the way he preached it. It was funny. He preached it, but he was preaching truth. It was serious. And people got the message. It's just, man, the old times, Dr. Rubin, he'd get up and he'd cut your guts out. Amen. And when he's preaching, he'd draw a picture and he'd cut your guts out, but then he'd make you laugh at the same time. He said, why do you do that? Because, see, when you make you laugh, it opens you up a little bit, and then, boom, it cuts you. It opens you up and then put the sword in. That's what you do. You do that, you open them up, and then put the Word of God out there. And look at verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. I want the love of God perfected in me. When I went over there, when I went to Israel, I didn't say, look at them stinking Arabs, they're going to go to hell. I looked at those kids, I said, oh God, have mercy on those kids. They need to get saved. I was at that Arab Baptist church, I didn't say, saw them stinking Muslims, them Arabs. Now, Muslims, the Lord's going to stomp them out. But man, that's the Lord. And the Lord said, suffer little children. Amen. He wants them little kids come to him. Amen. You know what I thought? You know, I thought about this. I said, you get all of these little kids in different nationalities, get them all together and put them in a room. I know they would probably notice after a while that they're different. But man, if you could preach to all of them and tell them about Jesus Christ, man. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. We believe that, right? I believe that. I believe he loved them. I didn't go over there, like I said. When we took pictures, Linda and I were standing there, you didn't see us smiling much because I was thinking, my God, all these people. Whew, if they only knew what was going to come, how they needed Jesus Christ. That's what I was thinking, my God. And I've been around preachers where I heard about this old preacher. I forget his name. But he went to New York, and a preacher from New York was showing him around. The preacher got bitter. He was up in New York, been there for years. And he's right there. He said, look at them stinking heathen. Look at them. Look at the heathen. Look at the heathen. And the pastor that went up there, the preacher went up there. I can't remember. I don't know if it was D.L. Moody. I think it might have been D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody said, yeah, look at them poor kids, people. Boy, that's a different attitude. And one guy bitter over the people. So look at them stinking people, bunch of heathen going to hell. And D.L. Moody said, yeah, look at them poor people, need Jesus. Jesus looked at Jerusalem, wept over it. And then he told the disciples, we looked at Sunday, he said, don't go to the lost, but only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then he goes down to Samaria. He goes down to Samaria, got around them. What a thing. Our Savior, something else. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. The Bible tells you how to walk. It tells you how to run. It tells you, the Bible tells you a lot of things, how to do things. And it says, walk as he walked. He walked around. He had mercy on people. Had love for people, but he rebuked the religious people. Amen. He preached to them, man, he preached hell hot to them. He told that religious crowd, boy, the prostitute's going to go to heaven for you guys. Amen. If we can be like him, you're going to have to look at things like he looks at it. Amen. And the way you look at it is through the word. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, for even hitherto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leave us an example that we should follow his steps. We have an example to follow his steps. You know, he did, he suffered. He died for the world, died for the whole world. And he had patience. Look what the next verse says. Or back up to verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well, suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. So when you know, going through troubles and trials and stuff like that, and people run you down, talking about you, take it for the Lord's sake. Look at verse 7. You ain't got to worry about the, you think, well, you're getting older, you're getting softer. No, I'm just getting a little more wiser about winning people to God. I want to see more people saved. I want people to get right. It's getting wiser. You get wiser. I remember when I first started preaching, it was just, man, I just blister people and with no compassion. And I had no compassion about it. Just wanted to blister. And then after you get older and you see, it's like a guy going to war. After you've been in war, you know, you got the recruits going to war. They're going, you know, I saw a footage of the young recruits from World War II. They're going out. They're asking the guys coming back that's wounded. And they've been in a battle of the Bulge. They're coming back and they're replacements. And the young guy's going, man, you see any action? Man, I'll tell you what, you shoot anybody? You get it? They're going in. And they don't know what they're getting ready to get into. Those guys coming back from the war, they're looking at those young recruits, man, you don't want no part of it, boy. They was watching a clip last night of World War II, and a guy said, the propaganda, he said, I hated the Germans so bad. I hated them. He said, I hated for what they did. And he was a Hawaiian or something. And they're interviewing him. And tears balled up in his eyes. He said, my first kill, and they showed his first kill. He said, there's a German over there. And he said, man, I was a sniper. And he said, I'm looking at him. He said, it's my first kill. And the German was smoking. And he said, man, I got a bead on him. And then I shot him right through his helmet, killed him. And he said, I was like, woo, got me one. As he got older, he started weeping, thinking. He went to the guy's wallet, looked in his wallet. God has children. War is hell, man. Look at this, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because of the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. You got to check your heart. Do I hate somebody? Do I hate a brother? I'm mad at a brother. When I was in Bible school, man, we had all kinds of we were iron sharpening iron, but we were sword fighting down there. But guys in the class, we were going at each other all the time. And, you know, hitting each other with scripture and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, like I said, after you've been in the fight a little bit, you start saying, man, thank God for that brother. Thank God for him. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. You notice there's seven steps we talked about last time, seven steps for a child of God. And little children are very selfish. Little children is all about them. And when it comes down to fathers, and fathers can be, supposed to be more mature, supposed to be more in a position of giving, supposed to be in a position of loving and caring. Little children, all they can think about is themselves. We got grandkids together, and we got Roman, and we got Reese. And you want to see a battle that takes place. It's between them two. And especially, they're friends, but when one wants one toy and the other one wants it, man, it's a battle. And that's the way little children are. And you get little children in church that one wants one thing and the other one wants that same thing, and before long, them little children are fighting each other. They're arguing, and they're all kinds of stuff. But a father will come up and say, hey, knock it off. It's stupid. Knock it off. And you can tell what stage usually most people are in by the way they handle themselves, the way they act, the way, if they all they can think about is, like he was saying, the generation is, what is it going to be in for me? Whether, not whether I want to see somebody saved, I want to be a soldier, I want to take on, I want to take on the battle for the Lord. He says, I write on you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write on you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write on you, young men. It says, because, you know, young men, when a guy is in that stage of a young man, young men, they know it all. Young men think they know it all. And they think they know how to do it. You know, get out of my way. Get out. I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. You don't know what you're doing. Get out of the way. And that's where a young man is. If he's not a fool, then he'll say, yes, sir, I'm going to watch. I'm going to make sure I learn something here. A young man that's got some wisdom, he'll listen. I write on you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I write on you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write on you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written on you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written on you, young men, because ye are strong. And that's the theme of our youth rally. Be strong. Be strong. And God wants us to be strong because you are strong. The Bible talks about a young man's strength and an older man's wisdom. And you see men with gray hair, they're supposed to have a little more wisdom how to handle things. Supposed to have a little more wisdom about it, way they deal with people and way they, you know, deal with life. And they're raising their family. They're supposed to have some wisdom. That gray hair is supposed to serve. But I know a lot of men that got gray hair. They're just fools, man. I've written on you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I've written on you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Is there any young men in here overcoming? Are you overcoming? Are you overcoming sins in your life? Are you overcoming some battles that you used to fight when you were a teenager? Are you past that? Have you overcome it? Are you in that different stage now? Or are you still going around the mountain? Take another lap around Mount Sinai. You ought to learn something. Learn something in your life. Say, man, that messes me up every time I get around that. I'm going to stay away from it. Amen. I'm not going to let that take me down no more. Amen. I'm not going to let that affect me no more. I'm not going to do it. God helping me, I ain't going to do it. It says, you have written on you, fathers, because you have known him that's from the beginning. I've written on you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome that wicked one. Overcoming the wicked one, that should be the ultimate goal, overcoming the wicked one. Every one of us has got something in us, in this old nature. That old name. You know, the Bible says flee youthful lust. Youthful lust. That's from the youth. You have, you know, youthful lust. It says flee it. Get away from it. Deal with it. Say, God, cleanse me. God, help me. Help me not to think that way. Some men, they can't, older men I'm talking about, can't look at a woman without lusting after. Can't do it. The Bible says flee youthful lust. Get away from that mess. Do whatever you have to do to think of, Lord God, don't let nobody mess them up. Whatever. Get away from that mess. Then it tells you to love not the world. Amen. Neither things in the world. For any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's strong. Amen. That's very strong. It says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's right. Amen. The world will steal your love for God. Amen. Every time you turn around, if the world gets its hooks in you, it'll steal God's love in you. And that Bible tells us that, you know, all that's in the world is lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. And that'll steal God's love in you. You know what's happened to a lot of young men? They got the lust of the flesh and lust of this world. And it stole the love of God in them. They can take it or leave it. Oh, they're saved. Yeah, they're saved. They're going to heaven. And they'll turn it on every once in a while. You know, Lord, I love you. But that, man, that thing's got such a hook in them. That love of the world has got such a hook. They can't get away from it. They can't get free from it. They can if they want to. But that love of the Father is not growing in them. The only way the love of the Father is going to grow in you is you get more in the time in the book. And faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's the only way the love of the Father is going to get stronger in you. Start singing to him. Like David did. You know what David was a young man. He had the love of God in him. That dude, I mean, brother, ain't nobody in this room could stand against David. Nobody. And when it come down to singing praises to God, David, nobody could come close to him. And coming down to stand for God, nobody come close to him. David, man, he stood. And he had a love for God. And boy, I tell you what, I mean, I know sin of Bathsheba got him, that sin got him, but he started taking another look, started checking it out. And then when the devil tempted him, the number of the people, and then God said, I'll give you three choices. You know what David said? David didn't say, well, let me live. No, David didn't do that. Just like Paul. Paul said, I'd wish myself a curse. I've said this. I said, I wouldn't die for my family. I wouldn't want myself to be cursed for my family. I'm not at their plateau yet. So Paul was willing to die for Israel. David, he said, God, it ain't their fault. It's mine. Bring it on me. Boy, you talking about, brother, that's high cotton there, man. That's high cotton. When a man can do that, Jesus Christ loved him. Anyway, we'll stop right there.